I sent you.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and today in Reformers Reader, we're going to be talking about the new book. It's entitled Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. It's a novel memoir by Marguerite Arnold, who joins us today, tonight, from Germany. Marguerite, welcome to the show.
Danke. Hallo, alles. Thank you very much for having me on.
Vielen Dank und guten Abend. Wie viel Uhr ist es?
Es ist spät. It's half past 11. So your German is very good.
It's
very good. I have the urge to say Gesundheit after you speak.
It's the remnants of a few brain cells left over from high school sophomore year. I took a semester of German, and I can ask you what time it is, where's the bathroom, how much is the beer, you know, the important things in life.
You bet, and the Germans just love that. It's an incredible country. I really love it.
Let's talk a little bit about your voyage to Germany, because I was reading in the introduction to Green, the memoir that you've written here, that you left the United States for Germany partially because of the way that we treat cannabis and the people who use it. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. I found myself in a boat that many people, I think, are in. I'm Generation X. I had worked for many years in the United States, and I got sick. And then once I had gotten into a program and I was starting to get better, and I'd finally fought for Marinol, which was difficult. This was 2007, 2008. I started to get better, and then I couldn't get a job. And then I got a job, and I got some money. I thought, I actually was credited for helping to win a federal grant in North Carolina. And they used the fact that I was using, at this point, a Schedule III drug to not pay me, and take a year's worth of my work for free. And I had, that was like the end of a long period of just having to deal with this on a level that I just couldn't deal with anymore. I was starving, and I was very lucky. A family member finally loaned me some money and got me out of the country. And I've been here for 2 years, almost 2 years. And I'm sorry that I feel this way. I don't want to sound anti-American. It's very positive. I love Germany. But at the same time, I'm very aware of the fact that this is something I gave up, if you want to say that, in the United States. And I moved to a country where it looks like there's going to be real reform next year. And the difference is huge. That said, the reason I wrote the book and the reason I continue to speak out on these issues, and it was very lucky in terms of getting a job to cover the market as a reporter, is because these are issues that a lot of Americans face right now. And I wanted to add my voice to the many that are now pushing forward on reform.
You know, as you observe this happening from afar, as it were, unfolding in Colorado and Washington State, did having that distance provide you with some perspective maybe that we lacked or got too carried away with here in the States?
Well, I hope so. It certainly felt like it was easier to write about it here. It's also a wonderful experience to write about something that the Germans... I mean, first of all, the Germans think it's barbaric that large sections of any population doesn't have health care. That's the perspective here.
Yeah.
The second thing is, obviously it is a very different proposition here. They are considering legalizing it next year for everybody and putting it under national health insurance. It's not that they don't want the 2 billion euro in money that's going to bring in from other taxes, but you're not seeing the kinds of silly season, for lack of a better reason, going on in terms of the tax debate and some of the other larger meta debates that are going on in America. And that's one of the reasons why I do hold up Colorado and I do hold up Washington State as, and as I say in the book, it's terrific that these two states have taken the steps that they have. Now we have crossed the border of legalization, though. What does legalization really mean? And how do we go about doing that? And one of the people I cite you actually in the book. I call it a novel memoir, but it really is. It's a political book. And it reads kind of like a memoir. I try to put in some humor. But, you know, I mean, one of the things that I think many advocates, yourself included, have talked about, especially over the last year, is some of the sillier political debates that we're now seeing going on to try and parse this decision. You know, in Washington state right now, there really is a proposal to tax everybody who uses THC, including medical users, at 37% at the cash register. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's not what the advocacy movement was about. So that's really why I took this opportunity from a different perspective, from a very pro-legalization perspective, but maybe a little bit, you know, as you said, outside of the American debate, to look at these issues within the meta issue, within the meta, you know, overall uber reform that's going on globally right now. And it really is.
The book is Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. We're speaking with Marguerite Arnold. She is the author. And Marguerite, if people want to get a hold of this book, where can they find it online?
Well, it's really cool. I'm participating in this wonderful ebook program by Smashwords. They're an ebook distributor, so people can either go to Smashwords directly and buy it from them, or they can find it in the Apple Store. It's going to be available in Amazon in about a week. So you can buy it now, actually, at a special discounted price, and for $2.99. And I'll have ongoing discounts and specials, but it will be downloadable as of Monday next week.
It's an excellent read. I got my advanced PDF copy, and I was struck at first by your personal story in the introduction, and then this remarkable timeline that you've laid out that even, you know, I didn't even consider, like the Treaty of Versailles point that you make at 1917, and how that was one of the turning points in how the nations were dealing with drugs and cannabis and so forth. And also you detail, it's the book is 12 chapters, one for each month of the first year of legalization. And you write how that provided kind of a microcosm of the entire history and the debate had gone on about cannabis. Can you tie that together for us, how the first year of market legalization was a microcosm of the whole marijuana debate in general?
Well, I will try. I mean, as I wanted to write about this for a long time, and it was about June last year that when the silly season opened up on the Hill about DEA funding, that I said, you know, this is a book. And as I sat down to start to write it, there were certain events that had happened during the course of the year that just made it very easy to start to discuss some of these things. So, for example, chapter one is called Rocky Mountain High, and it starts off in January with market start because that's easy. But I also wanted to show what legalization in Colorado really meant, because I think that is really the only full legal medical market, medical and recreational market model that is existent and functional in the United States today. No matter what they say in Washington, that is not really a legal market. it's the idea of taxing a part of the whole medical aspect and shoving it back into another world is pretty awful. But anyway, so the idea, though, was to take these ideas, these calendar events that happened, and tie them into the Uber history of reform. So in January, I talk about Colorado, I talk about market start, but I also talk about some of the things that a lot of people in the reform movement were talking about as well, some of the things that Colorado kind of pushed off the table. And then I bring in the other issues, the history behind that. For example, in June, I talk about the politics on the Hill, because that's really when the blowback from the DEA vote happened. So I use actual real events that happened last year within the broader issues of reform. I talk about federal law. I spend a whole chapter. I interviewed some of the leading companies in this space last year. They're wonderful people. So I spend one whole chapter talking about some of the entrepreneurial issues that all of these companies not only faced but overcame. And that's what I mean when I talk about, I use actual triggering events of the year to then lift the debate up into the sort of meta level and talk about these broader debates.
We're speaking with Marguerite Arnold. She's the author of Green, The First 12 Months of Modern American Marijuana Reform. And when you were saying that, was it Smash Words or Smash Works?
It's Smash Words. It's smashwords.com. They're an ebook distributor, and it makes it really simple. You can upload your manuscript and your cover art, and they distribute to all the major ebook online sites that most people go and buy books from. So Kobo and Amazon, iTunes. It's an amazing program.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, the other thing that happened in 2014 that's near and dear to my heart was my home state of Oregon and also Alaska and Washington, D.C. to some extent, passing marijuana legalization. Is there a plan for a follow-up? Because I think 2015 is at least here in Oregon, is one of the most tumultuous years, even so far, that I've been a part of.
I absolutely agree. Actually, this is, it's going to be, it's a series called Green Uber Alice. this year is absolutely going to be momentous, starting with what's going on the Hill today. You know, they've Cory Booker and Rand Paul, along with, you know, the help of Americans for Safe Access, which is an incredible, one of the more active and incredible reform groups, have introduced some interesting legislation on the Hill to allow the medical movement to go forward. But to your point, I think that the state model that's in play in Oregon actually has one of the most interesting promises for really, you know, teasing out some of these bigger issues. You know, what is fair to tax the different communities? What is going to be used with the tax, with that tax that tax money gathered? Are local municipalities allowed to add on basically what's, you know, turning into legal graft in many states, starting in Illinois, for example, on the medical community? And those are questions I think that Oregon in particular is extremely well set up to handle. And yes, to answer your question, it is going to be a series, at least through 2016, because I think that this is the most important political litmus test that faces every single national candidate, starting with the two presidential candidates, whoever those are.
Now that's an interesting point, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit. You say that, because I claim the same thing. I'm wondering, what's your perspective on why you think this is one of, and should be one of the biggest issues in the campaigns?
Well, first of all, you know, Iowa, the Iowa Board of Pharmacy has just changed the state classification of hemp, at least, to a Schedule II drug.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the impact of the Iowa caucuses and ethanol politics in the state, that is going to be a question that's going to be lobbed at every single presidential candidate once the silly season for presidential, the presidential season really gets underway. Second of all, as I discuss in the book, and I am very, very hard on those people that I suspect are going to be lining up for certainly the national presidential race, and they are right now, because they have been in politics for a long time, and there's absolutely no excuse for what we are still hearing people say. And I'm going to be direct about Hillary Clinton. You know, as I discuss in the book, this is somebody who has been, she's a former first lady. She's a former senator from New York, which has a very large Jewish population. She's a former secretary of state. And she doesn't know that there's all this research that American tax dollars have paid for in Israel. She doesn't know that on medical cannabis. She wants to delay forward motion in the United States because she thinks that more research, more American research is needed. Why is that? She's not aware of those things? Why not? Why aren't those questions being posed to her in that way, as opposed to, say, Christian Amanpour throwing her a softball question about whether she's ever smoked pot? You know? Sorry. At this point, having watched and been a part of the medical marijuana movement for many, many years, starting with watching many of my gay friends die, I'm tired of it. And I think that at this point, it is definitely the right time to make that statement. And there is an opening, thanks to the work of literally hundreds and thousands of, if not millions of people. This is a bottom-up movement. Let's take it, you know, be the change. And now is the time to make that statement and push it forward.
Oh, so well spoken. Thank you so much, Marguerite Arnold, for writing this book. And just for your personal story, too, is just very compelling. I encourage everyone to go out to smashwords.com and get the book. We've got the link up in our chat room, thanks to Gothic Prophet, who's already ran out and bought a copy for himself. Marguerite, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said, we're going to be running all sorts of cool discounts and promotions, and get in touch with me. Thank you very much for having me on the show, and good luck.
Oh, yes.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, Marguerite Arnold, everyone. And get that book at smashwords.com. 85% of the proceeds go to the author. And I may have just found the outlet for my book. That sounds like a good deal to me. We're back with a radical rant right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.